So on, you have in source number one, the Pesukim in our Parsha, Parsha's Bereishis, the Pesukim say, Eila told us Shemayim Ba'aretz, this is the, after we're told about the Vayechula Shemayim Ba'aretz B'chol Tzva'am, Yi Baram B'yom Ha'asos Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim, says the Pasuk, V'chol Siach HaSodeh Term Yeh Ba'aretz. So the word Siach, we usually use the word Siach to describe a conversation, which may be related to what we're about to say very interestingly, but the word siach here clearly refers to, you look in all the Targumim, you look in the Mefarshim, clearly the word siach refers to ilanos, it refers to trees or plant life, vegetation. And you do find the word siach meaning that in other places in Tanakh, just one interesting place where you wouldn't have thought that it, but it also does mean that maybe, not according to Chazal, but the Rashbam, when Yitzchak Avinu goes out, lasuach basada. So Rabbi Muskin quoted this in his Tshuva Drasha this year in Shabbos Tshuva. The pasuk says Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada. So we interpret that correctly because Chazal interpreted that way as lasuach basada, to converse in the field, because he was practicing and therefore establishing Tfilas Mincha. The Rashbam there says the Pshutol Shemikra is lasuach means he went out to plant, because siach there is milashon siach in our pasuk as well, which means plant life, vegetation, or ilanos, trees. There are other cases as well where that's true. The Rabbeinu Bechaya, if you look inside, we're not going to go into now, but Rabbeinu Bechaya in the Parsha here, he has the pshat and the connection between the two of those. He explains that the word siach means both, and it's not a coincidence. It means both because siach asada, the ilanos, the peros, the vegetation, the plants, they all sing the praise of Hashem. So they are the siach of the creation, praising Kadosh Baruch. You look inside, it's very beautiful. There's another way to spin it as well, based on what we're about to talk about. So the whole siach asada, terem yeh ba'aretz. Rashi explains over here, Uncle says the same, that terem here does not mean before. Terem here means adayin lo, meaning kol siach asada, terem yeh ba'aretz. There still was not any plant, any trees. The whole esav asada, terem yitzmach. And the grass was yet to sprout. Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu still had not allowed rainfall. He had still not brought the rain to the world, and therefore plant life wasn't in growth. V'adam ein ayin la'avod es ha'adama. And there was no man. We would think of it as Adam, like Ha'adam, the Adam Rishon. It's clear from Unklus that he translates this as Enosh, meaning mankind. Mankind, the humanity, still did not exist in the world, and therefore the Pasuk says, is describing to us that there was no plant life, there was no rain, there was no people. So again, how does the Pasuk describe this? So it says there was no plant life, there was no trees, there was no grass, because there was no rain. So that seems to be incorrect based on earlier Pesukim. The earlier Pesukim told us, Tadshe Ha'aretz Desha, that the ground did already sprout plant life. And so now when the Pasuk says that there weren't trees and there wasn't grass, how does that stim with the previous Pesukim? Secondly, the Reisha and the Seif in the Pasuk seem somewhat disconnected, or at least strange. The Pasuk basically says there was still no plant life, there was still no trees, there was still no grass, since, ki, there was no rain, lo himtir Hashem elokim al haaretz, and there was no human to work the land. So what's the flow of the Pesukim over here? Unklus doesn't help much on that second point. He just uses the Vav HaChibor, but what's the connection between the beginning and the end of the Pasuk? So, a few pshatim in the Rishonim over here. The Radak reads the Pasuk very logically. He says that the reason why there were no trees, the reason why there were no plants, according to our Pasuk, is because the Adam Ayin, is because there was no person. Meaning, Ki Shnei Dvarim Ha'Eilat Tzricha Ha'Adam Alahotzi Simcha. The ground needs, in order to produce trees and grass, the ground needs two factors. It needs rainfall in order to nourish it, and it needs Adam to work the land. If you don't till the soil, if you don't plant the seeds, if you don't thresh, and etc., you won't have vegetation, you won't have trees growing. So those two things are necessary, and neither one existed yet, and therefore plant life could not exist. The Radak says, but the Pasuk told us earlier that Tache Aretz Desha, there was sprouting in the ground. Echot Tzi Aretz Simcha, so how is it possible? No, because the next Pasuk tells us, the Eid Ya'alem in Aretz, there was some sort of, I don't know, a mist, a fog, some sort of moisture that pre-existed rain, and therefore based on that minimal amount of moisture that existed, the ground was able to be moist enough that it should be able to sprout minimal vegetation. But this later stage of actually growing produce, growing trees, that was still non-existent because there was no real rain and there was no person to work the land. The Sforno seems to understand the same way. He explains that the chisaron of rain and the chisaron of avod saaretz are what led to the fact that there was still no trees or grass. The Bechor Shor, Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor here, has a very fascinating kind of like addition, where he basically says that the Derech HaOlam is that everything is Olam Kiminhago Nohig. What it means is that the world functions, is very interesting, in the way that it was created. Kiminhago B'maisa Bereishis. Meaning, whatever happened initially is how the world then functions in terms of natural order, in terms of nature. So therefore, the same way that we perceive now that plant life could only exist if there's rainfall and if there's people to make the plants and to help with the field, therefore it had to be that way from the beginning. Kadosh Baruch Hu miraculously could have created the world in such a way that plants just existed, that trees just sprouted, but it had to be that the world would function, al derech, the teva would be mimicking the Maisa Bereishis, so that's how you know it was missing here at this stage. Yerav Hirsch asks the same question, but he offers a very, very creative shot. Rav Hirsch says that the word siach here doesn't mean plants, it doesn't mean trees, it actually means growth. Meaning it means the process, the action of growth. So even though it's true that the earlier pasuk told us that there was plant life, there was some sort of weeds that exist, there was grass that might have existed, but growth as a process, as a scientific procedure, as a mahalech of plant life, did not yet exist. So v'kol siach asada means that even though there was grass and or there was vegetation, there were trees, but there was no growth, there was no natural growth of those produce because there was not yet rain and there was not yet avodah sa'adama. But actually, plant life did exist. The pasuk already told us that. It's just that the growth of those plants didn't yet exist, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was yet to create that. Once there was rain, then there could actually be a process of growth. A very brilliant pshat. And he says siach means that in this context. He admits that siach generally means a tree or a plant, but here it means the growth process. Okay, but Rashi. So you have Rashi here in the Rashi font in source number one. Rashi says his own pshat over here from the Gemara. We already said the whole Esav Asad Terem. Terem means a dying low. So if you look in the Dibur Masel Kila Himtir, Uma Tam Lo Himtir. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not yet give rain, did not yet produce rain for the ground? Why? Lefi She Adam Ayin La Avodas Adama. So he says the Hemshech HaPsukim. It's not three disparate points. It's not two factors that exist. Rain and man, in order to make plant life grow, which is why plants didn't grow. No, the Torah is giving us a reason that Hashem did not yet give us rain. It's since there was no mankind to work the land, therefore there was no rain. What does that mean? So Rashi says, "Ve'in makir b'toivasam shel gishamim." The Maharal spells out over here in the Gur Aryeh that it's usser to do something for someone if they're not going to be makir tov. A tova has to be recognized, it has to be understood, it has to be related to. If mankind didn't exist to appreciate, to recognize the tova, the goodness of the rain, so then it wasn't worthwhile yet, and in fact it wasn't allowed, to create the rain at that point. Says Rashi, Uchsheba Adam v'yada, once mankind, man came along, v'yada shem tzorech le'olam, he realized the necessity, the absolute critical nature of rain, so hispal le'em v'yardu, so he davened for rain, and he was blessed to receive the rain, and the produce was able to grow. So Rashi says the pshat here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially withheld the rain, was because Adam ayin la'avodas ha'adama, because man was not yet created, with no humans there would be no hakar satov, and there would be no need for the rain. Once mankind was created, then he would daven for the rain, and it would fall, and thus plant life would sprout. What comes out from Rashi is that rain, geshamim, is uniquely dependent on tefillah, even more than other functions of the world. Because again, he created animals, he created shratzim, he created the sun, he created the moon. But rain, uniquely, is dependent upon, it exists only because of tefillas ha'adam. If there wasn't a person, there wouldn't be rain. And unless he was mispalel, Rashi says, the rain wouldn't have come. And only because he was mispalel was HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamtir rain to the land. And the truth is, the whole Maseches Tainus is predicated on this, no? The whole Maseches Tainus, we have other Tzaros Shelo Yavo Al HaKlal, but the Maseches Tainus is basically predominantly about rain. the whole first Mishnah, which we just switched to saying, you know, Bakashas Gisham, Sheilas Gisham now, but the whole Masechta in general is about instituting public fast days when there's a lack of rain, when there's no rain to water our fields, that there's a drought of some sort. That's what the entire Masechta Sinai is really predicated on, because there's a clear, inherent, strong connection between Tefillah and the desperate need for Geshem. So with that understanding of Rashi, Revel Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, David quotes this. So he explains a difficult Gemara. You have it in source number 2. The Gemara Maseches Tainus in the very beginning. So again, the Mishnah tells us about the Machlekes when we start with Bakashas Geshamim, Sheilas Geshamim, Mash Baruch Marad Geshem, Gvuros Geshamim. So the Gemara says, Uminalan Dibetfila. How do we know Bechlal that the insertion, this Bakashas Geshamim, this Gvuros Geshamim, Mash Baruch Marad Geshem, how do we know it's in Tefillah? How do we know we say it in Tefillah? How do you know you don't just say it's Stam outside the context of Tefillah? How do you know it goes into Shemayin Esrei? So the Gemara answers, "Disanya, because we have a brisa li'av Hashem lakechem la'avdo b'chol avavchem, ezri avoda she believe." What does it mean la'avdo b'chol avavchem? How do you serve Hashem with your heart? That's tefillah. Haviyomer zot tefillah. Uksiv basrei juxtaposed to this immediately afterwards. V'nasati mitar artzachem be'ito yarei malkosh. The rain season will come after la'avdo b'chol avavchem. So the Gemara says, because of that juxtaposition, that smichus of la'avdo b'chol avavchem, which is the avoda of tefillah she believe, the avoda she believe of tefillah. Because of that being connected to Yoram Alkosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us rain, so you see very clearly that the tefillah for rain has to be in the context of tefillah. The Avodas HaTefillah is related to Yeridas Geshamim. Yeah, but what's Bechlal the question of the Gemara? Meaning, we didn't know before we had a Pasuk that when you have an Eis Tzara, when there's a drought, when should you ask for rain? In tefillah, like meaning, we didn't know without this pasuk that a tefillah works be'es tzara, that a tefillah is necessary be'es tzara, that a tefillah is mo'il be'es tzara. We needed a drasha to tell us that if you're lacking rain and you want to ask for rain, it should be in the context of tefillah. It's apodictic. This is self-taught. I mean, we know this inherently. This is obvious to everyone that a tefillah be'es tzara is necessary and works and is the purest form and the most basic form of tefillah. So Velvel explains, based on what we just said, that the kasha, the shaila of the Gemara, it was regarding this, you know, so to speak, inyan miyucha, this special chiddush, this inherent, distinct need for and chefza shel tefillah for yiridas geshamim, especially, uniquely, singularly dependent on tefillah. That geshamim is something which is intrinsically linked to tefillah. That's something that's different than all other things. It's true. Be'es tzara, a person has daven. If there's a war, we need to have tefillah. If there's a sickness, we need to have tefillah. Separately and distinctly, the Gemara says, how do we know that there's an inyan of tefillah for geshamim? It's a different chefza shel tefillah, the Brisker Rav says. It's a different chefza shel tefillah. Like we saw in our Rashi, everything needs tefillah, especially in Es tzara. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the entirety, the essence, the existence of rain entirely is existent. It's predicated on man's davening. And the Gemara was saying, Minalan b'tfila, how do we know that there's a special inyan, a separate inyan, a new type of tfila that exists specifically for rain? That, the Gemara says, we have a drasha from the juxtaposition of the psukim in Kriyas Shema. This yesod, I think it's emphasized in source number 3 of Amar Shah. The Amar Shah asks that in Malachim and in Divrei Yamim we have a pasuk which explicitly says, "Behei atzer hashemayim v'lo'i amatar." When there's a lack of rain, when there's a drought in the world, so v'hispalu el hamakom hazeh, you should daven. So the Amar Shah says, "Why do I need to go to a smichus of psukim and kriyas shema?" The pasuk in the Navi says that if there's a lack of rain, if the rain stops, daven and the rain will fall. It will work. Tefillah for Geshamim will work. So just quote that pasuk. Why are we going out of left field and making up this drasha from Kriyas Shema? So the Maharsha gives a great answer. He says that pasuk only tells you behei atzer. If there's a rainy season and then all of a sudden the rain stops coming and there's a drought, you have to daven. It's an Eis Tzara. I mean, usually we have rain and we need it for our produce. Now the rain stopped. So you have to daven be'Eis Tzara. When your mom is stuck and there's no rain coming down, you got to daven that the rain should fall, so that you could have your produce, you could have your parnasa. But says the Marsha, that's not what Chazal are asking about over here. Chazal are saying, how do we know that there's a tefillah kavua, that we always have to miyaches to rain, when it's the rainy season, and it's shayich, and it's not tefillah shav, we always have to ask for rain, even if the rain is coming, we have to ask for the rain. That rain is completely dependent on tefillah, regardless of if there was a drought or not a drought, minnalan de betefillah, how do we know that it's relevant day in, day out, regardless of the current matzav, that you need a pasuk of, La'avdo b'chol avadchem, that a tefillah is specifically shayach. It's specifically inherently linked, singularly, uniquely, more than anything else in the world, to geshem, to rainfall. Even when rain is coming, it needs tefillah. There is no such thing as rain without tefillah. That's a separate question. That's nothing to do with an eis tzara. Rain needs tefillah inherently. It's a different chefzah shel tefillah. The other thing that comes out from this, maybe we'll try to prove it in a second, but the other thing that comes out from this is that this concept of tefillah, this chefzah shel tefillah for rain, pre-exists the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Meaning Adam HaRishon was not saying Eshtelah Shemon Esrei. He wasn't saying Mash Baruch Merod HaGeshen. The tefillah of Hispal Adam and rain came down was something before Shacharis, before Mincha, before Ma'ariv. It wasn't yet invented by the Avos. It's something unique, and it predates, it pre-exists the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. So Reb Simcha Maimon has a gevaldige raya for this. This is very, very geshmak, very charif. Source number 4. The Mishnah Maseches above Matzias says, how long should a person announce an Aveda for? So Rabbi Yehuda gives his opinion that you should do the Shalosh Regalim is enough time to announce it. So after Yontif, you should make sure that you wait 7 days. Why? Because 7 days is the amount of time that's necessary that an Ola L'Regel could be able to return to his house. 3 days walking. Shlosha v'yachzor, right? He can come back, v'yachzor shlosha, he can come back within the next 3 days. And v'yachzor is yom echad, he has to have a chance to announce that he's missing his object. So you need 7 days, three to go, three to come back, and one for announcing. So the Gemara says it's a stira. The Mishnah that we have in Maseches Tainus and Daf Yud, the Mishnah tells that there's a machlokes, Rabban Gamliel, and I think it's a Tanakama, as to how long after Sukkot we should begin saying Mashav Ruach Merod HaGeshem. Or I should say, sorry, what date should we begin Mashav Ruach Merod HaGeshem? So the Tanakam says the 3rd of Cheshvan, and Rabban Gamliel says the 7th of Cheshvan. And the Gemara says the difference is Rabban Gamliel thinks it takes 15 days after Sukkot for the last of the Ole Regel to reach Nahar Pras to get home. So we shouldn't start requesting rain at a time where it's going to be inconvenient for the travelers to go home. So we should wait 15 days till we're certain the Klal Yisrael are all going to be home. We shouldn't request rain, that it should rain on their travel and ruin their commute. And that's why we wait 15 days. So the Gemara says 15. Our Mishnah is saying 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda says it takes 7 days till people get home. Rabbi Gamliel is saying it takes 15 days till they get home. It's a stira. It's a contradiction. No, it doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Ena Chanami. It is contradictory. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's talking about taking 7 days. According to Rabbi Gamliel, the commute takes 15 days. But the Gemara says, you know why? Kan b'mikdash rishon, kan b'mikdash sheni. In the Mikdash Rishon, there were so many more people, the crowd was so much bigger, and they were from a wider spread of areas, that it took longer to travel home. So B'Mikdash Rishon, says Rabban Gamliel, it takes 15 minutes to commute home from the Mikdash, from the Aliyah L'Regel. And B'Mikdash Sheni, Rabbi Yehuda's Mishnah is talking about when there were less people there was less traffic, so it took shorter to commute. So it comes out, Reb Simcha Maimon points out, this is Gevaldik, it comes out that the Gemara is hanging on Kimta, that our Mishnah in Maseches Tainus that says that we should be Mevakesh Geshem, Mashav Ruach Merod HaGeshem, we should say the She'elos Geshamim, right? That it should be on Gimel Mar Cheshvan or Zayin Mar Cheshvan. That Mishnah is about Mikdash Rishon. The first Beis HaMikdash was before the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Meaning the Mishnah is handling when to start She'elos Geshamim before there was a Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. We didn't have a Shemona Esrei before the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And yet the Mishnah is saying, you should be Shoal Geshamim now, you should be Shoal Geshamim then, 15 days because it takes time to travel from the Mikdash Rishon. Mikdash Rishon, there was no Shemona Esrei yet. Enachanami. She'elas Geshamim is a different Chefzah Shel Tefillah. It's not Shaykh specifically. We insert into Shemona Esrei since we have a Shemona Esrei. But it existed before chronologically, and it exists separately qualitatively. It's a different yesod. It's different chefzah shel tefillah. It's inherently an inyan to daven for geshamim, regardless of when we had tefillah or not. We didn't have a chefzah shel tefillah of Shemona Esrei. We still had she'elos geshamim. What makes she'elos geshamim unique in this way? Why is it that geshem is removed like everything else in the world is one type of tefillah and geshem is different? So Reb Velbel cited a Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is quoted in Divrei Eliyahu in Maseches Tainus. So he points out that the Gemara's terminology, the Mishnah's terminology for She'elas Geshamim is Gvuros Geshamim, the strength of rain. So why does rain express Gvuros Hashem, the strength of Hashem, more than anything else? So the Gaon says, again, we're so trained by modern thinking, and we're so indoctrinated with the scientific thought that it's hard for us to see the distinction over here, but you'll take the Gaon's word for it and you'll think about it. The Gaon explains that all in Yani Olam Hazeh have underlying natural causes. Everything is divinely orchestrated. Everything is through the Hashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our world is that he set the world on a course that nature should act with the Siyat Ishmaya and with the orchestrating, you know, hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nature takes its course. Hashem set the world in motion. Fruits grow because seeds decompose in the ground and then sprout trees. People die due to malnourishment. People live or are healed due to medicines that target harmful diseases. These are all natural, scientific truths that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and set in motion, but that exist on their own. The Gaon says rain is different. There's nothing natural, he says, that determines or causes the rain, when it should rain, or how much it should rain. Again, this is not a good raya. I'm just pointing out that your weather app is only so accurate, correct? It's true about other things also, the way we perceive it. It's true. We don't really know how to predict earthquakes. As a person can miraculously live and not die from malnourishment, right? That, meaning it's not really perceived by us in the perfect way, but it is true that geshamim, rain, has a certain tenuous nature to it, that it's not really clear when or how much or if it will rain, and past experience is no proof for future truths. Rainfall is an expression, says the Vilna Gaon, of Gruas Hashem. It's called Kula from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no natural design, there's no natural order, or no natural cause, and no natural process by which you can determine and guarantee rain in its timing or in its quantity. If you look in Adaris Eliyahu, so in our Pasuk, the Gaon is quoted as adding very, very geshmak adiyak in our Pasuk. The Gaon notes that in our Pasuk here, the Pesukim describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you look again, in Pasuk Hey, in source number one, V'chol siach asad terem yieh ba'aretz, V'chol esav asad terem yitzmach kilo himtir, Hashem Elokim, al ha'aretz, v'adam ayin labaras ha'adama. So the Gaon notes that if you look through Maisa Bereishis, there's one exception, but if you look through Maisa Bereishis in terms of the days of the week, so the Pesukim describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu consistently as Elokim. Bereishis bar Elokim. And the Gaon says, because Elokim is the Lashon of Hashgacha Tivis. It's the natural order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up as nature, Teva, in this world. Maisa Bereishis was HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the world as Teva. He created a sun and a moon that would then go on a rotation 365 days a year, the months of the year for the moon, etc. The lunar cycle, the sonar cycle, right? He set up those truths of nature from Maisa Bereishis. Elokim, he's the God of nature. But here, uniquely, the Torah says, when it's talking about being mamtir, giving geshem to the world, Hashem Elokim. Because Yudke Valke Havaya, this Shema Hashem, the Shema Etzem, connotes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as, quote, Nosein Chiyas Lakol, the source of all life, Ve'eno Shore El Al Olam Malei, and that it's referencing Kadmuso Kodem Briyasa Olam. The name Havaya represents something which is not dependent on Maisa Bereishis, which is not dependent on nature, on Elokus, on divine, but natural order. Havaya is something which exists outside the realm of basic nature. So the Gaon says that's why here, of all places in Maisa Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as Hashem Elokim, because this is above and beyond Teva. Everything else, it's existent because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it exists through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rain uniquely exists only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not set on any natural order, it's Gvuros Geshamim. Accordingly, whereas most cases, Tefillah assists in the realization of a natural process, but Tefillah, if you read as Geshamim, is actually what causes rain to come in existence. And that's what Rashi told us. Rashi said there was no rain before Adam because there couldn't be rain before Adam. You couldn't have rain without Tefillah. Rain only exists when someone reaches out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ma'ashivurach, Morad HaGeshem. Revival explains that's also why the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, says when we have the Pasuk, Amunas Itecha Chosin Yeshuos, Bahayim Amunas Itecha Chosin Yeshuos, Chachmas Vidas, whatever the sixth Sidrei Mishnah. So Emuna is a reference to Seder's rhyme. It has to say from Yerushalmi, because you're Ma'amin B'chaye Olamim. you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mechaya. He's going to keep giving you produce. Okay, you also believe in God who commanded Nezikin. You also believe in God creating Tuma and Tara. You also believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, orchestrating marriages, that he's makes Shiduchim. So every Seder could have been Emunah. No, but Zra'im, planting, is uniquely based on Emunah because it doesn't exist without relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you the rain. Mistama, that's also what Chazal had in mind when they said that there were Shlosh Maftechos, three keys to the world that were not given over to a shliach. There's no agent that orchestrates them, one of them being Geshamim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to that key, and he alone, Bechvodu Ba'atzmo, is the one who orchestrates a rain, and only when he's reached out to by Bnei Adam through Tefillah. You look in Source 5, Rav Hirsch basically says everything we just said in two paragraphs. It's a Pella. He has everything. The Yisod he has, the Diuk in Hashem Elokim he has from the Gaon, meaning it's all on his own. But Imam says everything we just said, he says in a few words. You have it in the English, it's worth looking at. It's Mamish Godless. Imamish was Mechavim to everything we just said, from the Rashi down to the Vilna Gaon, in beautiful words. On one level, everything we've discussed is particularly relevant to Tefillah for rain, for Geshamim. On another level, it's a Yisod in Geshamim which sheds light on Tefillah as a whole. Rav Menachem Nissel has this sefer, Rikshei Lev. It's a Hilchos Tefillah for women. I think they have it in English as well. I have the Hebrew edition. It's a nice sefer. So in the introduction, he sets the same scene that we just set up. He doesn't have the same Ramakomos, but he sets the same scene very poetically about Adam Arishon's first day and his need to pray for rain, and he describes, similar to what we've set up until now. But then he continues to explain that dependence on rain that Adam Rishon experienced and we experience forever, and thus his complete dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not exceptional. It's emblematic. It's symbolic. It's the rule, not the exception. It's the paradigm of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. When it comes to all of our needs, rain is the best example of this, where we perceive without HaKadosh Baruch Hu there would be no rain. There's a difference. It's Hashem, not just Elohim. But rain is just a prime example of what we believe in everything in our life, is that Eretz, the land, is Tali v'shamayim. Gashmius is Tali in Ruchmius. That's what he says. The word Geshem is, the Shorish is Gashmius. He says Geshem represents the Hisgashmus of Ruchmius, coming from Shamayim, turning into raindrops physically, and nourishing our world. But rain is emblematic. It's just the example that teaches the rule, which is that everything needs tefillah. And without Tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't provide for any of our needs. They're all necessary in terms of the relationship. How does that stem with the fact that there's a natural process? There's an Elohim, there's a Teva. How do the two go together? So you look in Source 6, Ramchal and Derech Hashem explains that it's almost like a Gzeres HaKasuv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did set up a world that there's a natural order. There's a way things are going to go. There's a process, there's a Teva, there's nature. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world that nature will only be accessed and will only be given in its natural way if a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Davening is what allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to then give you the Shefa. It's true, there's nature and then there's above nature, but everything ultimately is Tali, and now we're asking for it, and now we're being involved in the Avodah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Gemara in Chulin tells us, like the Medrash tells us, based on our Pasuk in the Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mis'avel L'Tfilasen Shel Tzadikim. He wants that relationship. He wants us to reach out to him, even though it's true that it's set up as a natural process, but unless we reach out, that natural process will be blocked. It won't be accessible to us. He desires that relationship that we create through our tefillos. The Rambam wrote Nigeres Teman. We quoted it the other day in the Shmuz before the Chabura about the Matzav in Eretz Yisrael. So Nigeres Teman is incredible. And I very highly recommend chazoring it now. Not everyone has much time. I was on a plane yesterday, so I had time. But it's very kedai. It's very, very apropos. He's writing to the people of Teman who were experiencing a shmad, who were experiencing a persecution, Aide the Ishmaelim there. So it's a tremendous amount of chizuk, it's a tremendous amount of hashkafa. He gives you practical avodas for what you're supposed to do during a time like this. It's mamish, everything's here. It's mamish, shmamish, very, very kedai. In that context, the Rambam tells us that there's a promise, there's a guarantee. Kimoshi Efshar Shetisbatel Mitziuso Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like Kadosh Baruch Hu will never cease to exist. Kain E Efshar Shenovad Benispatel Mina Olam, so too we, Klal Yisrael, will never ever cease to exist. It's a promise, it's a guarantee. We will not lose a war to the extent that we will cease to exist. It won't happen. We're guaranteed by the Navi. Shekein Amar ki ani Hashem lo shanisi ve'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chlisem. There's no such thing. There's no end to the Klal Yisrael. There's no destruction. There's no defeat of Klal Yisrael. We're always going to come out victorious. And he's talking to people who are being persecuted by the Ishmaelim in their country, that it's going to feel bad. It's going to be a bleak outlook. It's not going to look good. It's going to be sad. It's going to be suffering. But there's going to be an ultimate victory. We're going to win. We're going to come out on top. There's no suffix. There's no question about that. The Rambam says it's a guarantee. But it's intuitive, but it's important to spell out intuitive things sometimes. However obvious and however certain and however sure and confident we are that we're going to win a war, that we're going to continue to exist, that we're going to defend ourselves, that we're not going to be destroyed, tefillah is still of critical necessity. It doesn't matter that the natural order, the gzeres hakasev, is that we're going to win the war. Tefillah is necessary. Firstly, because the Yeshua, like we said before, is only guaranteed through the pathway created. Sorry, Yeshua is only guaranteed through the pathway created by our tefillos. Like the Ramchal told us, that even if it's guaranteed that there's some nature that's going to exist, only through tefillah do we get to recognize that nature. That's first of all. But additionally, and this is so critical, Rav Hirsch said this, we said it from the Vilna Gaon as well, but I'll say it to the words of my Rebbe in a second. Tefillah not only opens the pathway for the Shefa, it's not only required, even though something is guaranteed. Tefillah can also determine how the guarantee comes true. Like we said before from Rav Hirsch and from the Vilna Gaon, it may be that there's going to be rain. It may be that on a certain date there is absolutely going to be a rainfall. But how much rain is there going to be? When will it come? Will it come at the opportune time? Will it hit the spots of the ground in the right place? Will it be levracha or will it be leklala? Those are all factors that are still not determined. Even if there is some sort of nature that you can identify to, you know, atmospheric pressures and how the moon is lined up to cause a rain to happen. Even if you could figure that all out, how much rain? When's it going to fall? Is it going to hit the right spots? Those are all things that are kolkulo tali in a kadosh baruch hu. How the gzeira is mekuyam, how nature presents itself, is dependent on tefillah. So, in the words of Rav Twersky, divine assurance notwithstanding. Of victory, of this Igaris Teman, of winning the war, divine assurance notwithstanding, our tefillos are urgently needed. Victory is assured. The price of victory, however, is not set. We fervently pray that victory not entail any further casualties. So we, collectively, the hashkafa that we're getting from this Sashir, and also our tefillah as expressed in these words, is that we realize the tulia, we realize the dependence that we have on the Ribono Shel Olam. We're confident in the promise. We believe with full bitachon and emuna that we're going to win. And we believe that this is not, chas v'shalom, the end. There is no end. But we daven steadfastly, fervently, continuously, that that end should be brought quickly and without, rachman al-tzlan, any further casualties.